to see, to know, become and fulfill this one in our inner selves and in all our outer nature was always a secret goal and becomes now the conscious purpose of our embodied existence. If we are now in the real presence of the Master, we recognize what is the goal of our life. Our goal of life is actually nothing but to become like the Master of our being. The moment we begin to grow into His likeness, that is the reason why without the Guru you cannot have the real knowledge. Because what is knowledge is to be like the Master, to grow into the image of the Master. Therefore, unless you meet your Master, how can you be educated? The very aim of education, the very aim of life is to become like your teacher. Therefore, teacher becomes indispensable. To be conscious of Him in all parts of our being and equally in all that the dividing mind sees as outside our being is the consummation of the individual consciousness. To be possessed by Him and to possess Him in ourselves and in all things is the term of all empire and mastery. To enjoy Him in all experience of passivity and activity, of peace and of power, of unity and of difference is the happiness which the jiva, the individual soul, manifested in the world is obscurely seeking. This is the entire definition of the aim of integral yoga. It is the rendering in personal experience of the truths which the universal nature has hidden in herself and which she travails to discover. It is the conversion of the human soul into the divine soul and of the natural life into divine living. This paragraph is so beautiful and so masterly that you should read this again and again. Is the entire definition of yoga, the entire aim of life, the entire thing that we are obscurely seeking and can be fulfilled only when this happens. As long as this does not happen, do not think that you have reached. There are many, many stages in which we are told the station, the destination has come. And if you want to be sure whether the destination has come or not, read this paragraph. See whether this has happened. To be conscious of Him, I am reading again, to be conscious of Him in all parts of our being and equally in all that the dividing mind sees as outside our being is the consummation of the individual consciousness. To be possessed by Him and possess Him in ourselves and in all things is the term of all empire and mastery. To enjoy Him in all experience of passivity and activity, of peace and of power, of unity and of difference, is the happiness which the jiva, the individual soul, manifested in the world, is obscurely seeking. This is the entire definition of the aim of integral yoga. It is a rendering in personal experience of the truths which universal nature has hidden in herself and which she travails to discover. It is the conversion of the human soul into the divine soul and of natural life into divine living. This is only the introduction so far of the divine teacher. Now we go forward and look at this divine teacher in our world. The surest way towards this integral fulfillment is to find the Master. of the secret who dwells within us, open ourselves constantly to the divine power, which is also the divine wisdom and love, and trust to it to effect the conversion. But it is difficult for the egoistic consciousness to do this at all at the beginning. And if done at all, it is still difficult to do it perfectly. And in every strand of our nature, it is difficult at first because of our egoistic habits of thought, of sensation, of feeling, block up the avenues by which we can arrive at the perception that is needed. It is difficult afterwards because the faith, the surrender, the courage requisite in this path are not easy to the ego-clouded soul. The divine working is not the working which the egoistic mind desires or approves, for it uses error in order to arrive at truth, suffering in order to arrive at bliss, imperfection in order to arrive at perfection. The ego cannot see where it is being led. It revolts against the leading, loses confidence, loses courage. These failings would not matter, for the divine guide within is not offended by our revolt, not discouraged by our want of faith or repelled by our weaknesses. He has the entire love of the mother and the entire patience of the teacher. But by withdrawing our assent from the guidance, we lose the consciousness, though not all the actuality, not in any case the eventuality of its benefits. And we withdraw our assent because we fail to distinguish our higher self from the lower, through which he is preparing his self-revelation. As in the world, so in ourselves. We cannot see God because of his workings, and especially because he works in us through our nature and not by a succession of arbitrary miracles. Man demands miracles that he may have faith. He wishes to be dazzled in order that he may see. And this impatience, this ignorance may turn into a great danger and disaster if in our revolt against the divine dealing we call in another distorting force more satisfying to our impulses and desires and ask it to guide us and give it the divine name. The difficulty of discovering the divine master. This is what Sri Aurobindo describes to us. Why is it we cannot discover the master, the divine master, who is within us? Sri Aurobindo gives us the analysis. First, it is difficult at first. You see in the first seventh line on the top of this paragraph, it is difficult at first because our egoistic habits of thought, of sensation, of feeling block up the avenues by which we can arrive at the perception that is needed. Egoistic habits of thought. What is the egoistic habit of thought? Habit means what? A constant turn towards what has already been established. That is a habit. A constant turn. We habitually smile when we meet people who come to meet us. It's a habitual. It's a constant turn. It is established. When somebody comes to meet us, we greet. It is a habitual movement of our greeting. Similarly, there are many other kinds of habits. It's only one good example, but there are many other bad examples also of habits. When somebody praises you, habitually we like it. It is our habit to like a praise. It is our actual habit, egoistic habit, to dislike blame. It's a habitual way. If somebody blames you, immediately you withdraw. It's a habit of the ego. I cannot have done wrong. Because of our habitual way of thinking, we cannot see when the Divine comes to us. He may come to us not in a very agreeable form. He may come to us blaming you, and you may not like him. So you may not recognize him, that, oh, he is my master. The master who is within you may come to you in many ways which are opposed to your egoistic ways of thinking. Our egoistic habits of thought, of sensation, of feeling. We think habitually, we sense habitually, we feel habitually. And they are all egoistic in normal term of our consciousness. That is why we don't recognize the Master when he comes.